राधा कृष्ण पादं सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखानुतांश्यं नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष सुन्नवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्प तरुवेश्य कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे
So we're going to continue with our discussion of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I seem to have forgotten that the other lecture. Let me check about the other thing.
Just
Alright, sorry, I had a lecture from last time, but that lecture is not with me right now. We didn't finish that slide, those slides, but we'll come back and do that next time. So just as a recap, we were looking at the third chapter of the Adi Leela, and we looked at the meaning of the Krishna Varnam Tushar Krishnam's verse and what it signifies, what each of those words mean. There were some aspects of the second line of that verse that were in that third lecture that I kind of skipped because I don't have the PowerPoint today. So what we'll do is we'll continue with today's lecture and then we'll go back to that next time, finish that. Sorry for the inconvenience. No, we didn't finish. Okay, so today's topic, we're going to start with the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela. This is a very long chapter, lots of verses in it, and it is sweet. So, what I've done is prepared two PowerPoints here. One is, so I divided that chapter, at least parts, the first part of the chapter, because it's pretty long, into two parts, or three parts actually. So the first part is the meaning of the first, fifth verse, and part one of that is hints at its meaning. So what Krishnadas Kaviraj is doing is, he wants to explain the fifth verse of the first chapter of the Adi Leela, and what it means, but before explaining the meaning, he actually first give some hints as to its meaning. Then he starts to give the direct meaning, but even then first he goes into a detour into describing who Radha and Krishna are. Less Krishna, more Radharani. So this chapter has a big focus on Srimati Radharani. And then he starts to dive into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So we won't get there today, but we will start with this and see how far we go. Next slide. So, like everything else, every chapter, he has composed a verse in Sanskrit. So, let's recite it. Shri Chaitanya Prasadena Padrupasya Vinenaya Balati Kurute Shastram Drishva Vraja Vilasinaha. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Vraja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. So the verse, under the topic of discussion of this chapter is this next verse, which is Radha Krishna Pranaya Vakriti Radhini Shakti Rasma Ekatma Vibhubi Chaitanyakam Prakatam Adunata Vayam Chaityamatam Radha Krishna. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, previously they separated themselves. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. This is the verse that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is going to take several verses to explain. That's how significant this is. So let's go on. This is, I haven't presented all the verses, but just the key verses that I thought would be necessary. This is 4:13. Niva Vishnu. Vishnu Dvare Kare Krishna Asura Samhare. Krishnadas Kaviraj makes the point that Krishna did not need to descend to kill the demons, although he says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Rather, when Krishna descends, everybody, all the incarnations, avatars, including Vishnu, the Purushas, they all come in his body. So it so happened that at the time that Krishna wanted to come, that time coincided with the time of killing the demons, when demons needed to be killed. That's the point Krishnadas is making. So as a result, it appears that Krishna came to kill the demons, but that's not the reason he came. Because Vishnu can kill the demons, Krishna is not needed for that. Swayam Bhagavan is not needed. So the translation here is, at that time, that means the time of Krishna's descent, At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Next slide. Thus, anusanga karma e asura marana, ye lage avatara kahise mula karana. Thus, the killing of the demons is but secondary work, anusanga karma. It is incidental. So now I shall speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. Prema rasa niryasa karita swadana raga marga bhakti loke karite pracharana rasika shekhara krishna parama karuna edu yeh tuhaite ichhara durgama.
These are words everybody should remember. Not just. Because the question will come within yourself many, many times in your life. What is the main reason Krishna has come? This verse actually entices like all internal and external, two purpose that Krishna comes. Internal for himself, external for the world and the living entity. That's why I say duihetu means for two reasons. And this is very confidential. Not given here in this verse completely what are the two reasons, a hint only given. So this verse is very important.
Do you want to explain?
No? I thought we'll go and...
You can
read it. We'll take it. Few verses we'll go and then let's see how far.
So the verse is, the Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. We're talking about Krishna now. The Lord wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God. That's the first reason. So this is... Prema rasa niryasa karite aswadana. He wants to taste the essence of the mellows of love of God, prema rasa. And the second reason is raga marga bhakti karite pracharana. He wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction, raga marga. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. So the word Rasika Shekhara, Prabhupada translates as the supremely jubilant. Can we get the doors? The bugs are going to come in. And Paramakaruna is the most merciful of these. Most merciful. So the Paramakaruna, the merciful mercy comes in the form of his desire to propagate devotional service. That's his mercy. And his tasting the essence of the mellows of love of God is the Rasika Shekhara part. That's right. Rasika Shekhara part. Correct. That makes sense? So compassion, that's why he comes to propagate devotional service. And he wants to enjoy, supremely jubilant, he's always bliss, enjoying bliss, so that's why he comes to taste prema rasa. But this is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is Krishna. Which is interesting. Alright, let's go on. ऐश्वर्य नाने ते सब जगत मिश्रित ऐश्वर्य शिथिल लोकर में नाही मोर. We saw this verse in the previous chapter also. This verse says that Krishna thinks, or Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. Next. Feeble. If one regards me as a supreme lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. This is a pretty heavy verse.
Amare. God is controller or he wants to be controlled? Which one? This is very sweet. He wants to be controlled. Those verses probably coming, no? Pia Judi Man Kare Kare Varsam.
आमाके प्रिये ये भक्त भजे ये भावे तारे से भावे भजी ये मोर स्वभावे. So the principle, the logic behind Krishna's thinking is explained. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. So ye yatha maam prapadyante. Krishna's Kaviraj cites that. We all know that verse. The concept is that if the devotee worships Krishna as the supreme controller, then Krishna is obligated to respond as a supreme controller. He cannot respond in another way because of this verse or because of this logic of reciprocation. He is reciprocal. So he's kind of, you know, the question could arise, okay, I am going to worship as a servitor, but he should still give me the mellows of, you know, sakya or vatsalya or something. But no, he can't do that because he's constrained by his own promise in the Bhagavad Gita that he is going to respond in proportion and reciprocation to the specific sentiment of the worshipper. This is what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is explaining here. Okay, next.
Mora putra mora sakha mora pranapati ei bhavaye more kar shuddha bhakti apana ke bada mane amare samahina sei bhave hai ami tahara adhina.
So this principle is elaborated. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. So if the devotee wants Krishna to be subordinate to him, then Krishna becomes subordinate to him. If he wants Krishna to be equal, he becomes equal. So Krishna is reciprocating according to the bhava. Sei bhave hai ami tahara adhina. Whatever bhava the devotee has, whatever emotion he has, or she has, accordingly Krishna reciprocates. Next.
Mair bhaktir hi bhutana namratvaya kalpate tishtaya asin matsneho bhavatina madapanaha.
Beautiful verse.
This is very important verse too. Prabhupada quote this verse many times.
This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I think I have a purport from Srila Prabhupada in the next slide maybe. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Vraja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. So, the concept again is reinforced with an example. How did the gopis obtain Krishna's favor? It is by the fact that they had affection for him in the conjugal mellow. That's why they obtained him, according to that mellow. So, this point is reinforced here. Next slide. So, here's the Prabhupada's purport. Pure devotional service is represented in the activities of the residents of Rajabhumi. During a solar eclipse, the Lord came from Dwaraka and met the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Samanta Panchaka. The meeting was intensely painful for the damsels of Rajabhumi because Lord Krishna had apparently left them to reside at Dwaraka. But the Lord obligingly acknowledged the pure devotional service of the damsels of Raja by speaking this verse. This is Bhagavatam 10:82-44. Next slide.
Mata more putra bhave karina bandhana atihi na gyane tari lalana palana.
So another example of this familiarity. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She protects and nourishes me, thinking me utterly helpless. So because the mother thinks of Krishna that way, Krishna becomes like that. Ye yatha mam prapadyante anstapeva bhajana. Next.
Sakha shuddha sakhe kare skandhe arohana tumi kon bada loka tumi ami sama.
My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal.
Vriya yadi manakari paraya bhatsana vedasya tehai tehare sei moramana.
If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So this Veda, this is pretty heavy verses here. So the prayers of the Vedas, or the personified Vedas, are the 87th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are amazing prayers. I love that chapter. And Krishna is saying that he is not interested in those prayers when his Priya comes to him in a sulky mood, manakari. Next. ఏ శుద్ధ భక్తల కరిము అవతార కరిబల విధ విధ అద్భుత విహార వైకుంఠాద్య నాహి నిలార ప్రచార సెసెడిలా కరిబయా తే మోర చమత్కార. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. So I have a question, a point of discussion here, if you don't mind. So what does this mean? Yate mora chamatkara, which I am amazed.
In awe and reverence, there is a formal rules and regulations, and there is also expectation. But in this Brajavasi's move, the Jogamaya create an atmosphere, create pastimes that even Lord Krishna every moment gets overwhelmed and bewildered himself. It's so tasty and so relishable. This is Lord Krishna himself. In Damodar Leela we find the third verse that Satyavrata Muni writes that Krishna himself drowned into the ecstasy of this Braja Rasa, and he wants others to come and participate in that. So Srila Prabhupada gave a commentary on that, that everybody in Braja Dham are all either drowned into ecstasy or swimming into ecstasy or floating or. This conception is very difficult from conditional life to understand, because whenever we have some relationship in this world, we don't see that when we come to Krishna consciousness, that pleasure without Krishna in the center does not satisfy us. But devotee's family is different. Devotee's family, because every Krishna is in the center. But as a human being, karmi life, there is no real pleasure when you come to Krishna consciousness. You think, we don't want. You literally like reject voluntarily. This family life in the material world is different. We don't have any interest. But when you become devotee, the grihastha, as I'm saying, is different because Krishna is in the center. In Vrindavan, this idea that how it becomes chamatkar. Chamatkar in a sense that when you expect something, like in Vaikuntha, when you go there, Sripad Jayadutta Maharaj said one time in lecture here, he asked Prabhupada's godbrother Sridhar Maharaj about this question, and he says, do they know about Krishna in Vaikuntha? So he said, yes, they do, but not as a visible, active personality or topics of Vaikunthavasi's discussion. So they have some painting or some of Krishna in the like closet or storage place, like you don't, not everybody goes there. But then if some body has a natural inclination of serving into this Brajavasi's mood, and he happened to pass by Vaikuntha and he got stuck there for a while, like Gop Kumar, it happened to him, that's why it's explained. And then he asks, what a beautiful, beautiful form, such attractive. And then the others who are senior, they say, this is a form of our Lord. But we don't worship that form here. We worship Narayana. But then they ask, what's wrong? Why not? This is so beautiful. See, because we don't think of Supreme Lord herding cows. Because in Vedic culture, herding cows is not really Brahmana or Kshatriya. It's a third class in the society. And even with the Vaishya, you know, there is a financial and there is a trader, different kind of, and the cow protector. Cow protector and cow herding is kind of like, even within Vaishya, is like a not upper class. Within Brahmana, there is upper class Brahmana. Similarly with Vaishya, so there are four types of Vaishya, and the cow herding is like, even Prabhupada says like this. This is very mystery how Supreme Absolute Truth chooses to remain in a village, not a city life, in a country life, and in a Vaishya family. Only Krishna knows what is the purpose behind it. So, in Vaikuntha, you also have a lot of, like a frame structure, like even so for an example, gardening. You know, this is a rose garden, this is this garden, and everything has a proper landscape, everything has a beautiful decorative that you can glance. But in Vrindavan, there is no such thing. There's no really properly visible everything. So like one day, for an example, Vatsasura's day, when Krishna killed the Vatsasura, he could not convince all the coward boys to follow him, because Vatsasura is a calf, a demon came in a form of calf, and Krishna just whirled little bit and throw it, and then he got killed. Madhumangal, and they say, we can do that too. It's not. But Krishna wanted some pastimes where he could draw their attention. The reason is because he wants to explore the rest of the forest. Now we cannot put logic, the 32 miles, 32 square mile is Vrindavan, even though it is material you can judge like this. You know, 84 crores. Then in Bakasura case, Krishna went inside the Bakasura's throat, and all the coward boys, including Balaram, were stunned. They could not move. So then they were like ready to kill the demon. Of course, they are all equally powerful to kill the demon. But some or other, their sattvic mood, stambha, that they became stambha, that they could not move. Where then, little later, this dark demon or Bakasura, he spit out Krishna and he came out. And then Yogamaya released their stambha, sattvic feeling. Then they were expressing Krishna how they missed him. They were so scared. What will happen? How could this demon swallow him? And they were really crying to Krishna, and Krishna shown them that how with his own hand he stretched the beak and he killed the demon. So then they felt like, you are the hero. You really made it. I can't believe he's such a big demon that he could swallow. So what kind of such a giant demon? But you killed him. So he got a lot of support. And then he took all the coward boys on the other side of the forest to see what else is there. They found a beautiful playground and everything. And they played whole day. And at afternoon, Krishna thought, what is the other side of the forest? Let's go see. They never saw. As soon they moved the bushes, you know, they went hiding way, they were shocked. Beautiful forest with a garden, with a flower, fountain, lakes, all the swans, everything is so attractive. And they say, wow, until today we never even knew this. Even, I'm talking even Santo manifestation, that the Brajadham itself, every moment astonished Krishna, which was never seen yesterday. And tomorrow they come and say, what is there anything behind this bush? They go there, it's a huge mountain, like 100 feet, 1,000 feet mountain, that they had no trace. Every moment they are like shocked. Krishna is like seeing the new fragrance flower, new birds, new beast. All this Vrajabhasha is like every moment, everywhere is like a very astonishing. Never experienced before.
So that's interesting. If you see the Ashtakalya Leela of Krishna, you kind of get the impression that things are monotonous, that they are repeating. There's a time,
yes.
So there's a time 3:30 to 6, and 6 to 8:30, and then you know, this Yashoda is cooking. Rather than every day she goes, she cooks many different dishes to Yashoda's house, and then Krishna is being fed by Balaram. They go milk the cows, then they go to the forest. When they go to the forest, Krishna teaches the cowherd boys and goes to meet Radharani in the Kunja, and so it goes on. Krishna's Kaviraj, Goswami has written that book. What is it?
Govindalila.
And then Vishnu Chakra Thakur, Krishna Bhavanamrita. And so you might get the impression that things seem to be going to according to a plan and repeating themselves over and over again.
But actually, that's not. Though I guess we are like bound by time, you know, it's a 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, we should do this, 8 o'clock, we should do this. So it helps us when they explain us by the time. This is why I thought about it one time. Also, why there's a time consuming, like 3:36, they get up and separate and they have to go home. And just before that, there's a beautiful arati every day, and this is what we call Mangalarti. Mangalarti is so important, that's why. But in Mangalarti, the beauty of Radha Krishna is never seen before that day. Which day? The day you see him. And every day is a new beauty. It's not like, oh, I saw that person. I saw Radha Krishna. Now what? What is the difference? No, you never saw. That's why the word is the Nava Nava. And Anurag. Anurag means that there is a spontaneous, newly experienced, newly flavored, newly scenery that never experienced before.
If that's the case, then how do they recognize them?
That's why they don't recognize. It says in this chapter actually, Prabhupada actually, I learned that verse because of Prabhupada. Few times he says in a duhe kore hurahuri. Duhe kore hurahuri. They're like complete competition. Why? It says, aponake na, amito na jani keho na jani gopigan, duhar rupe gune duhar nitto hare man. And duhar rupe gune means that the form that they see each other, the Krishna never saw Radharani in that beautiful form, and Radharani never saw Krishna in that beautiful form. And the quality she is explaining, manners, smiling, even side glance, everything is new, never experienced. And Krishna is like very attractive. Radhani is also attractive. Radhani, there is a past times, even Gopal Chandra Jiva Goswami Pad writes that Srimati Radhani even cried one time. I'm just jumping to, just to establish this point. That Lalita Sakinke says that, why you are crying? Said, I feel like unchaste. And there is a song actually. Ke basu naili se mona, kanero bhitore diya marame pashibogo, akula korilo mora pran, ke basu naili se mona. Narottam Das Thakur, they wrote many songs, very deep. There Srimati Radharani expressing, oh Lalita Sakhi, I'm very confused. Because that boy today I saw, I never saw that boy, so beautiful. And I'm in love, I cannot control myself, I feel like to run fast to go to him. But I also know that I love Nanda Maharaj's son. And the flute that he played, I don't know who is that person. I also love that person. So I'm in love with three persons. It's not chaste. So Lalita Sakhi says, don't worry. It's the same person. I know because I already checked before you came to this point. Because I was surprised myself. So I immediately sent my messenger. You know, in Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, like Krishna has the two types of messenger. We see in the Christian world they have angels, you know, flying angels. Oh, in Vrindavan there is angels. They have a duti, it's called Swayam Duti. Duti means a kind of a messenger. But they like stay in a tree everywhere, they go, what is going on? This is their job. They fly very quick. Oh, Radharani is disturbed by that beauty of that boy. Who is that boy? They trace it, where he comes from. No, the angel. Yeah. It's not a Christian idea. This is in our Bhajadham. And their duti. Duti means a female messenger. So, just like flute. Flute is also a messenger. It literally enter into the house, enter to the ear, to the heart, steal the heart, come out, and bring it to Krishna's lotus feet. And then the gopi lost their ultimate wealth and they're chasing after this. Same conception.
But does this principle apply also to Yashoda and the Baba's relationship with Krishna?
Difference. Yes, difference. How many times Mother Yashoda saw her son? How many times? All days she's seen. But when one day she is coming, this is in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada writes, the one day Krishna is coming, but his mischievous look is so attractive, and Krishna is thinking to steal butter from that house. But this is his own house. Would you steal from your own house? That doesn't apply. I mean, it doesn't make sense. The stealing. You used to steal from your own house? Well, if your mother didn't allow you to have it probably. That's the difference. But, you know, 9 lakh cows, 900,000 cows is all for Krishna's pleasure. I mean, why he has to steal butter? Doesn't make any sense. So, but he was stealing from his own house. And then Mother Mukhura says, look, Yashoda, can you believe this? Your son is actually, look at his eyes. He's trying to enter in your other room to steal the butter. This is for him. Why he has to steal? Mother Yashoda said, don't do anything. I just want to stare at him. He's so beautiful. I never saw such beauty. Now tell me, how many times Mother Yashoda saw him before? Why she is saying never saw before?
So then it seems that depending on your relationship, so let's say you were a sakha, you considered him your equal, then more than Krishna's beauty, it's his strength, which would look newer and newer. If you were a das, then his lordship, being a prince, would appear newer and newer. If you were a mother, you know, son, and if you are Radharani, Panjaguru. But I hate to do this, but maybe you should come back and continue.
But this last thing, Sanatana Goswami Pada in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in case if you are reading, we started reading, it's a very sweet book. It makes our faith on Prabhupada's book more stronger. You know, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita is not outside book. Prabhupada wanted us. In Adi Lila chapter 5, verse 36, Prabhupada said, one must read Brihad Bhagavatamrita if he is interested to understand three things: devotion, devotees, and the Supreme Lord in the relationship. Must read. So it's not like we're going out of Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted us to read this. And those books actually makes Prabhupada's books more illuminated. We find like more exalted things that after reading Bhagavatamrita. There Sanatana Goswami Pada writes that these coward girls or boys, they actually forget everything what happened yesterday or day before yesterday, no trace. Why? Because the present view of Krishna perception is so attractive, it's overwhelmed and bewildered, they cry. What to talk about previous? It's not possible to remember everything. Because this beauty of Krishna every moment is overwhelming. And this is the most attractive.
But then the gopis sing about his exploits.
Yes, they can go back. That's why Prema Vaichitra, the four types of Mahabhava is explained. Prema Vaichitra is one of them. Prema Vaichitra, where the variety is given, like Radharani was with Krishna, and this bee comes and seeing Radharani's face is so attractive. The bee wants to land to suck the honey because Radharani's face is so attractive. So that time Madhumangal comes and seeing this, he chased the bee. And the bee is chased so far, but the bee also has another name called Madhusudan. the honeysuckle. So he used that word, he said, I chase Madhusudan, so far he won't come. Radharani faint. The question is, she's next to Krishna, why she faints? Because that scenery of Madhusudan is so addictive and so attractive, she completely forgot everything else. That scenery just manifested. When you say Uddipan, Dipan, Uddipan, it appears, the moment they think, it appears right in front of them, they forget everything else. Even they are next to Krishna. This is very, it's too nectar. When you understand Vajradham, it's too much nectar. What we are doing in the material world, wasting simply time. That's a fact.
Okay. Do you mind going back to the previous slide? I forgot where we are here. So,
no, the next one.
Okay, Yate Mora Chamatkar. So I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. Okay. Next. Movishaye Gopi Ganera Upapati Bhave Yoga Maya Karimeka Apana Prabhave. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. This is important. It's the sentiment that I am their paramour. So on. I think I have a purport on this coming up at some point. I think it will come up. Anyway, let's go on. Ami ha na jani kaha na jani gopi gana nara rupa gune. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this. That means this concept that the gopis think Krishna is their paramour. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this. For our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Okay. Dharma chhari rage dhune karaye milana kabhu mile kabhu na mile daivera ghatana. Daivera ghatana. Pure, this beautiful verse. Pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties. Dharma chhari. You know, the sarva dharman parityajya. Give up all religion. Surrender to me. This is, he gives it up himself. And so do the gopis. Dharma chhari. The pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties. Destiny, so daiva, will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. Next. Ehi sada rasa niryasa kariva aswada ehi dvare kariva sada bhaktere prasada. I shall taste the essence of all these rasas and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. So see how he favors it, us by this. Vrajera nirmala raga shuni bhakta gana raga maya vibha jayena chhari dharma karma. Then, I don't know if, I think I should have a lot of purports coming up. But then, by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Vraja, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. So the reason Krishna manifests, these pastimes are eternally going on, but he manifests them for this reason, raga marge bhajayena. Because by knowing about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, there is the greed in the heart of the devotee to become one of those persons in Vrindavan, serving the devotees in Vrindavan. And so the verse is, then by hearing about, so we come to hear, know about this by hearing, about the pure love of the residents of Vraja, devotees will worship me on the path of Raga Marga. Prabhupada translates that as spontaneous love. Abandoning chhadi, dharma karma, all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. This should not be taken to mean that devotees become immoral, like the sahajiyas, as I'll show some, Prabhupada writes a lot in his purports. It doesn't mean that people just become immoral and do whatever licentious things. Rather, it means worshipping Krishna according to the directions of scripture. So, raga marga bhakti is done according to the directions of the scriptures. And the directions of the scriptures do not allow one to become immoral. What it means here, abandoning rituals or religiosity, it simply means the jnana marga and the karma marga. That means, you know, or ashtanga yoga and all these other processes, or dharma, dana, vrata, hutta, charity, things like that, penance, austerities, these are irrelevant on the marga of raga marga bhakti. Krishna becomes the sole focus. This is the concept. Next. Here's the purport. Sorry, it's a little small, but I'll read it out for you. Many realized souls such as Raghunath Das Goswami and King Kulashekhara have recommended with great emphasis that one develop this spontaneous love of Godhead. Even at the risk of transgressing all traditional codes of morality and religiosity. This is kind of an oxymoron almost. Spontaneous love, one develop. Prabhupada's writing, we have to develop spontaneous love of Godhead.
Let me give you an example. Maharaj Kulasekhar, Prabhupada mentioned here. Maharaj Kulasekhar's book, you know, Prabhupada translated one book, Mukunda Mala Stotram, halfway he finished, he didn't finish the whole thing. He must have felt very ecstasy, because in book, I don't see too much publication of that, those two books. Two books Prabhupada halfway translated, Narada Bhakti Sutra and Mukunda Mala Stotram. So I read that and I was researching more on that. Maharaj Kulasekhar is a good example, because he was a king. He was a famous king in South India, that area of Madras, what they call Chennai now. That part of South India, he was king. And he was a great devotee. And then there was a great devotee who used to come and recite the beautiful pastimes of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, different time, different. And he, Maharaj Kulasekhar, hearing, he became so surcharged with this ecstasy feeling, they, according to the Vedic rituals, they would come with the shanai and music to morning, to wake up the king. That's how they used to wake up. Just like we wake up the deity with the sound and mantras and all. They used to also wake up. But he would not wake up one day. And he didn't wake up till like almost 9 o'clock around. So then some minister got very nervous. Then through the other personal servants, then they found out that whole night he was merged into this pastimes of Lord. So they started not feeling comfortable. This is not good. That the king should not be disturbed like this by the devotee of chanting and giving the pastimes. But Kulasekhar Maharaj, he was so addicted to hearing Krishna Katha that he told the minister, now is the time that you all rule under my guidance and you can decide most of the things. I don't have to be there and I want to participate in more of my personal bhajan. And he did. After a while, it went completely crazy ecstasy. That one day, this bhakta, he was making him such a emotional feeling for Lord Ram that immediately Kulasekhar got up from his seat. He said, when did this evil Ravana kidnapped? He said, it just took place. He said, I'm going right now. We must help Lord Ram. Now, you cannot put logic until you grasp this mood. But when you have that mood enter in your heart, that time you don't put a logic. Oh, this happened million years back, Ramayana, now is this. But actually, spontaneous service, it can happen now. So then Kulasekhar Maharaj, he went outside and he called the minister. I want all the soldiers to come, 10,000 battalion. And all 10,000 battalion, and the whole night he was hearing, and early morning he got this news that Mother Sita got kidnapped. And he took this 10,000 battalion and he started marching towards the ocean. He's going to go to cross the ocean and kill Dibon Ravana. And as he marching, and those days, you know, king is not a president. King means like almighty power, something like that. So no minister can say anything. And they all going and they're not understanding what's going on. The king marched with his 10,000 soldiers and all his minister, went in the water. When it came up to his neck, Lord Ram appeared on the ocean with Sita Devi and Hanuman and Lakshman. He said, don't worry, king, I just rescued Sita. Now, did Ram lie? You figure it out. This is like eternal, almost this pastime going on. Everything is wonderful. She is rescued, she is happy, and Sita Devi was smiling. Said, now you can go back and celebrate a victory festival. So the king was very happy. He's not putting any logic or anything, or material rules, regulation. He went back and put a big festival. Oh, this one pastime, here 17 pastimes took place like this. One pastime made the minister very nervous. This is crazy. How this devotee, Hare Krishna people, make this emotional feeling and king really goes with it, and we see that he says noble. But this took place. Lord Ram appeared. And the minister saw also this like a, they were like shocked and they didn't know what to do. So they made a plot. They made a plot that some or other we have to get rid of the Hare Krishna people from the king's life. Then he will act like a king. So one day the king used to love worshipping deity. The pujaris are serving the deities right now. The king used to love deities also very much, and he would dress, he would really sing song while they are dressing, chanting the name of the Lord. Then one day the pujari came. He said, my lord king, I cannot find any jewelry, it's all stolen. Now inside the palace has a personal deity room, who could steal? The king said, this is absurd. How can you say such thing? He said, no, all the jewelry, everything is stolen. He said, how? Who could do this? Well, nobody else comes here except the Hare Krishna people. They are allowed in the deity room and you, and nobody else comes. So king didn't feel comfortable. This is some kind of a scary, plot. So then, king was very upset. He said, I want to dress the deity. How can the jewelry, everything stolen? He said, we don't know. And they are real gold, not imitation or costume. It was real gold, silver, diamond. So then king said, I want immediate search out. They came, after little discussion, they came all. He said, I think we know who did it. It's the Hare Krishna devotee. Definitely. He was waiting for this opportunity. He stole everything and he sent it back to his village, and now he's going to deny. The king, he knew how to respect Hare Krishna people. He did not challenge anything. He said, go get a most poisonous cobra. So the minister, they didn't know why he's asking for a cobra. Now if you know the cobra, how poisonous, how dangerous it is. So then they got the most poisonous cobra from a sapure, the snake charmer. And he brought so many cobra, he said, put this cobra here. And the king told all the ministers, I'm going to put my hand in the cobra's basket. I want cobra to beat me, or I declare that the Hare Krishna people, who makes me the highest achiever of human life, you are blaming them, and I do not believe that. So if it is the fact, let cobra bite me and kill me, because I cannot doubt and disrespect the Hare Krishna people. So he's about to put the hand in the snake basket. Then the minister all came out. Oh, please forgive us, actually we made this plot, it's a lie, he did not steal. And so this way it was solved. And then the king says, never ever, we can have a disaster if you blame the Hare Krishna devotees. And it was wonderful that how he experienced. Maharaj Kulasukara experienced Mother Yashoda's feeling for Krishna. One time he went crazy like this. And he was crying and crying for Krishna. He went many aspects. Why I'm bringing this story, this is also previously we say, like Prabhu was explaining, that আমাকে যে যে ভক্ত ভজে যেইভাবে, দিস ইজ ওয়ান প্রিভিয়াস ভার্স, আমাকে যে যে ভক্ত ভজে যেইভাবে তারে শেষে ভাবে ভজি এমোর স্বভাব. দিস ইজ মাই নেচার দ্যাট হুইচ এভার ওয়ে এ ডেভোটি অ্যাপ্রোচ মি ইন এ পার্টিকুলার ম্যালো আই রেসিপ্রোকেট. সো ইট লাইক ইট লুকস লাইক দ্যাট এভরিবডি হ্যাজ এ ফ্রি চয়েস. ইট ইজ ইন এ সেন্স, বাট অ্যানাদার সেন্স এভরিবডি ইজ অলসো পজিশন in their constitutional nature, constitutional position, constitutional function, which mood they will serve, that's also fixed. But then How do we reconcile? The devotee will go through just like Kulasekhar. He fell in love with Lord Ram. He fell in love as Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna. He fell in love as Narayan Bhaktas. He went so many angles, and at one point at the end, he found his ultimate. And then every acharya gives, especially the Alwars of South, they give this conclusion. Even Ramanuja acharya says that everybody's rasa is already fixed in that sense. Because Anupam is a good question. Rupa Goswami's brother. Anupam, he was a Ram Bhakta. Hanuman, Murari Gupta is a Ram Bhakta. And Mahaprabhu purposely told them to chant, only worship Radha Krishna, not Sitaram. But then whole night cried, and Rupa Goswami reported to Mahaprabhu that we tried to induce Radha Krishna worship to my brother, but when we went in the morning, he completely fainted in front of us. He said, brother, I tried so hard. Every time I think of Radha Krishna, Sitaram just appeared in front of me. And it's very difficult. So what did Mahaprabhu do? To establish that point also. That wherever devotee feels the most comfortable, which one? Devotee feels the most comfortable. What their position? But where, if somebody searches this way, that way, it is nothing wrong. If somebody thinks, I like to be a coward boy, I like to be a cow, I like to serve Krishna as a dust in Vrindavan, I like to serve Krishna as a stick, I like to serve Krishna as a peacock. Any form is no harm. Actually, I had a talk with Ridhananda Maharaj one time, and he found this point. The Prabhupada says, yes, we can imagine that some relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada heavily said this. So it's nothing wrong. It's not that bogus idea. Because this both are true. Both are true. If we explore different angle, we'll come to a point where we find the most happiness and we don't want to move out of it. That is our saiva. To bring that point, this story was narrated. King Kulasekhar is one of the good examples. 17 pastimes he did it, 17 personalities.
So the purport is, many realized souls such as Raghunath Das Goswami and King Kulasekhar have recommended with great emphasis that one develop this spontaneous love of Godhead, even at the risk of transgressing all the traditional codes of morality and religiosity. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, has written in his prayers called the Manah Shiksha that one should simply worship Radha and Krishna with all attention. Na dharmam, na dharmam, shruti gana niruktam kila kuru. One should not think.
You heard that?
Only part of it.
Vali Radha Krishna, Vachara Parichar, Jami Hatanu.
Nandishara, Sachisuna Nandishara Gopish, Nandishara Sutatte Guru Varam, Mukunda Prestate, Ajasra Nanu Mana. Oh my dear mind. Na dharmam, na dharmam. Now this verse has a very deep meaning, but we'll touch at least. Na dharmam, na dharmam is not that we give up dharma, dharma. But here it is saying that dharma, religious scriptures, they give so many instructions. And this is required for a new fight. But when somebody advances very high level, then those codes has also essential principle, like Prabhupada quote this, smartabha satatam vishnu bismartabha na jatachi sarve vidhi nisheda suya etayar eva kinkara. All these rules, regulations, vidhi nisheda, prohibition and rules, they are actually made servant of one principle, that always think of Krishna, never forget him, smartabha satatam vishnu. So that on that principle, that dharma is there. And adharma is also there, the what is prohibition one should not do. But point is, because Prabhupada also made this few lectures I saw, that there is a Vinshati Shastra that Swayambhuva Manu gave the scriptures for the human being. You know, this 10 principle. 4 is for yourself and 6 for others. This 10 principle based on Manu Samhita, we read, I remember, was very interesting. But those gifts people to gradually progress one step at a time, one life at a time. But Prabhupada says, we don't have time. Therefore, we take the elevator, it's Krishna consciousness, that we do not give any importance what to be done, what not to be done, on the basis of all the scripture. On the basis of our Goswami scripture, they said, Prachura Puricharja, just serve the Radha Krishna, that's what we do. If you really look at our lifestyle, the morning till evening, we serve Gornitai, Radha Krishna, Krishna Balam, that's all we serve. We are not interested of doing every jagna, every rituals, everything we don't. We chant, with everything that we do, this is what we need to do. This verse actually refers. It doesn't refer them. And then the second point here also comes, that should you worship Krishna, Radha Krishna, or you should worship Gornitai, I mean Mahaprabhu, or you should worship Guru. Oh, they are all one. They are all one. He says, Sachishuna Nandishya Gopi Sutatte Guru Varam. So you have to see all three of them are in one line. So there is no conflict in that sense. It's very sweet. That verse is very sweet.
So, na dharmam, na dharmam, shruti gana niruktam kila kuru. One should not be much interested in performing Vedic rituals or simply following rules and regulations. King Kulashekhar has written similarly in his book Mukundamala Stotra 5, Nasta dharme na vasunichaye naiva kama upabhoge yad bhavyam tad bhavatu bhagavan purva karmanurupam etat prathyam mama bahumatam janma janmantareti tvatpadambho guruha yugagata nishchala bhaktirastu. I have no attraction for performing religious rituals or holding any earthly kingdom. I do not care for sense enjoyments. Let them appear and disappear in accordance with my previous deeds. My only desire is to be fixed in devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord, even though I may continue to take birth here life after life. Next verse. So, I think I've lost my chain of thought. Do you mind going a couple of slides back and see where we are? Okay, so where we were was, I shall taste the essence of all these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Okay, go on. Then by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Braja, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love. So that's what Krishna is teaching. Abandoning rituals of religiosity and fruit of activity. Go on. Next. So then, this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10:33-36. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritah bhajate tadrishim kridaya shrutva tattvaro bhavet. Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. So, the purpose of the pastimes is for one to engage in service. Rupa Goswami explains the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the service in Raga Marga Bhakti, which is the topic of discussion, is that the externally the devotee performs the same bhakti as the Vaidhi Bhakta. That means chanting rounds and following all the rules and regulations. Internally, the devotee cultivates a mood of service, manasa seva, in which devotee serves a resident of Vrindavan in whatever mood that attracts the devotee. So this is the concept, is the reason for such depth and detail, so many different pastimes, intimate pastimes. One would wonder, why does Krishna have to advertise these pastimes, that they are so intimate and so precious to him, and just opening it to the whole world to see and read. This is the purpose. It allows the devotee to do raga marga bhakti, because without knowing the pastimes you can't do anything. Okay.
So maybe you can point this one line that without manasa seva, because some devotee may question that, did Prabhupada say that? Yes, in nectar devotion, that's a brahman who burned his finger. How many times Prabhupada gives on that story in the lecture? You watch. At least I heard few times Prabhupada bringing that point again and again, that we have to internally, this bhakti path is an inner journey, not only externally what we do. Because internal consciousness is more important than external. External is also important, because we are not so much, I am not so much internally absorbed. But internal absorption has to be there. Internal service, the consciousness, like the pujaris, they are dressing the deity. But internally they are thinking, this is absolute truth. This is absolute truth coming from Golok Vrindavan, landed in Alachua just for us to offer him some under our Guru's guidance, and then he will accept it. If the four things are not taken seriously by the devotee who does the deity, who does the altar, the 64 offenses is there. And one acharya says, if you focus on these four things, just four simple things, and meditate on it, internally it purifies, that offense will not occur. Otherwise 64 offenses is very risky. You know, when you read in Nectar of Devotion, to worship deity, to come to temple, how many, like, my God, even burping is like a offense, you know, without making sound, entering to temple is offense. So many offense. Turning back is offense. So, but the whole idea is that internal intention is more important than content. It's very important. Manusya seva is very important.
What did you say the four things were?
Well, there's a whole explanation we discussed one time. Sulabha samipa sati patitta. That how the devotees or the pujaris mindset. This is Ramanujacharya gives, because he is the Mahaprabhu took two things from Ramanujacharya. He took two things from all the four acharyas, and then he made Achinta Vedavedi his own philosophy. The deity worship, Srila Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Chaitamita Adilila chapter 10, one purport Prabhupada said, we took 108 things from Ramanujacharya regarding deity worship, Vaishnava behavior, etiquette, deity worship. And if you look at all these 108 things, that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wrote a book, it's based on this rules regulation, but there's so many offense involved, how to counter. So then to counter, a devotee always has to focus on these four things. Fourth thing is the samitta, that how Lord is the intimate protector. He is the maintainer. How? That is a discussion. So that has to be discussed, and that has to be contemplated while they dress the deity or while they make the offering. Patitta. In the beginning he says that every disciple must sing these five expansions. It's a para, buha, vaibhava, archa and avatar. That the para means that in Golok Vrindavan Lord Krishna is there. And Prabhupada quote this verse, Golok eva nivasati akhila atma bhuta. So Krishna is always Golok Vrindavan. Krishna is not in Alachua. Happened to be here and he's missing in Golok. No. He's eternally in Golok Vrindavan, but he expands himself into Alachua. And this is how Prabhupada explained. Then we have to think that, oh, you have come all the way here just for us to be engaged. How merciful you are. This mood has to be there. That mood has to be there. Then Vatsalyata, that how Lord actually reciprocate this, has to be focused. If these things are not focused, these four things is difficult to actually get out of the offense. And if you have no offense, guess what happened? You already reached to that highest ecstasy form. It's very easy, but the offense keeps us lingering. Mind is non-difference from Maya, because Maya actually controls, divert our attention through the mind. If the mind is Jitendriya Prasanatma, Paramatma Samhita, even in chapter 6, that if somebody actually subdue the mind or control the mind, he already attained the Lord. So it's very difficult. Mind creates this offensive. All these offenses is the creation of the mind, literally. And mind, how does it create? Mind creates by the influence of the Raja and Tamaguna. So that's why it is controlled. In 13th chapter he says that if you don't control the mind, then what happens? You really start committing offense and go back. That's not bad. But four things we discuss one day, because we'll discuss maybe another day.
So let's go on. Now this is an interesting thing. 435 says, Bhavet Kriya Vidhilin Sei Hakaya Kartavya Avashya E Anyatha Pratyavaya. Bhavet Vidhilin. Vidhilin is a type of, in Sanskrit there are different types of moods of verbs. Vidhilin is one of the moods of in which a verb is used. So Bhavet is a verb used in the imperative mood. It's an order. It must be done. That's what Bhavet means. So the concept is that the previous verses that are saying Raga Marga Bhakti, it must be done. That's the concept. Here the use of the word Bhavet, which is in the imperative mood, tells us that this certainly must be done, and non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. That means Anyatha Pratyavaya. This concept also comes up later on in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu emphatically explains that without Raga Marga Bhakti, it is not possible to attain Goloka Vrindavan. Let's go on.
That's very important point.
If you say just chant and take prasadam, yeah, you'll progress. But if you really focus to go to Goloka Vrindavan Brajadham, this is a criteria. Chanting is everything, but how is everything has to be discussed. Now why did Bhaktivinoda Thakur write Harinam Chintam? So much details. Why? If chanting is everything, why Prabhupada emphasizes of distributing books? Why he is giving so much lecture? He could just chant. So we have to be very practical. What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada says that our head should be focused on the scriptures. And when we focus on the scriptures, that will convince us to put our heart absorb in chanting. With both combination, if you look at from the very beginning, Prabhupada emphasized this lecture and do book distribution same time with chanting Hare Krishna. It's not like only chanting Hare Krishna. Both has to be there. Because otherwise it is not possible. Because when the head is not absorbed or focused on scriptures, we will not be convinced to put our heart into chanting. To put our heart into chanting, head has to be convinced. Because this is a channel. It is not a, otherwise we'll chant and mind is going here, mind is going there, we cannot focus. It's a fact. Practically we see that. It's not only just the philosophy, practically we see. And if we can come to this point, then together, the head and the heart together in the holy name, then we can march towards the goal of Vrindavan to serve the divine couple in that. Otherwise not possible. So we have to hear and chant both simultaneously.
Next. So I put the purport from Srila Prabhupada here, which is instructive. One who has not, I think this might be a few slides, so please bear with me, there's a lot of reading here. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction, thus to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to material so-called love between man and women. Similarly, one who understands the pure parental love of Nanda and Yashoda for Krishna will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. If one accepts Krishna as a supreme friend, the attraction of material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane wranglers. If he is attracted by servitorship to Krishna, he will no longer have to serve the material body in the degraded status of material existence with the false hope of becoming master in the future. Similarly, one who seeks the greatness of Krishna in neutrality will certainly never again seek the so-called relief from impersonalist or voidist philosophy. So the thing is that one has to seek these relationships with Krishna. That's the thing that I took away from this. And if one seeks these relationships with Krishna, then one is not attracted to the corresponding material relationships. So, yes. Can you use the microphone? Hold on, this is the microphone.
Click on the left. There should be a
power button.
You press it. Okay, go ahead.
It seems like, actually we can improve our relationship by seeing these. It seems like the thought of abandonment comes, which is negative. When you're reading this, we have to abandon that, but we have to see Yashoda in this one. I don't seem to understand that. We are learning from Krishna, right? The relationship he had, he used to carry the feet, the chappals of his father. So then we teach our children that we should touch our feet, you know. So in fact, we should learn from Krishna and then have a practice in our family.
So the
concept.
Okay, so the question is that it seems that Prabhupada is suggesting in the purport that abandonment of relationships in the material world are necessary to get these relationships with Krishna. That's the question? Am I right? Okay. That's not what is being said here. The word material is used. So, material parental affection. Material love between man and woman, material friendship. So the word material is important here. That means that relationship should be on a devotional level, whether between one man and wife, or father and child, or etc. Not that the relationships are devoid of any devotional context. The relationships of the devotee in the material world are with devotees exclusively. That includes the family, friends, and so on. But if the relationships are not in a devotional context, then it becomes like this morning's class, in Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. Those are material relationships. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada is not saying that we have to abandon our spouse or our children. That's not the concept. But he's saying that we stop seeing those relationships purely as material relationships. The meaning of the word material is that a wife sees the husband as the means for her enjoyment, and so does the husband. And this is a stark fact in the material world. No relationship is exempt from this unless the wife and the husband are devotees or practicing devotees. Then they see the other as a person to be served rather than a person to be exploited for one's own gratification. And the same thing applies for parents and children, same thing applies for friendships. That's what is material. So the concept that other people are not for my pleasure, but rather I am for others' service, to give others pleasure, doesn't come artificially. It only comes when bhakti is practiced. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Is that okay? Let's go to the next one. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment. Thus, to become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities, and to continue material existence by transmigrating from one material body to another. Only in Krishna consciousness can one achieve the highest perfection of life. Next. So that's the end of the purport. We'll go to the next verses. 436-37. Now, we come to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So just as these desires of Krishna, what were the desires? The two hetu, the two reasons were, one was compassion to spread devotional service, and the other was relishing the essence. So Rasika Shekhara, that was one. And the other was Parama Karuna. Now here, just as those desires were actually why Krishna came, but simultaneously it so happened that killing of the demons was necessary at that time. And so Vishnu inside of Krishna accomplished those. In the same way, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Krishna Chaitanya's appearance to promulgate, Prabhupada's word, the dharma of the age is incidental. So a lot of the times we say, well, Mahaprabhu came to spread Krishna Sankirtan movement into the world. But here Krishna Das Kaviraj is saying that is just incidental. In other words, somebody else could have done it too. But Mahaprabhu actually came for another reason, as we'll see. And that reason happened to coincide with the time for which the dharma, the yuga dharma of this age had to be established.
Yuga dharma parvartana hayam sohite amabhinanna naribraja premanam. To establish yuga dharma, for an example, Sankirtan movement in Kali Yuga, any incarnation could have done. It is not necessary Krishna or Lord Chaitanya or Swayam Bhagavan to come. He himself said this. Yuga dharma pravartina haya angso hite. Angso means just expansion or limbs. Or limbs mean expansion, manifestation. Anybody, any Vishnu incarnation could do that. Even devotee could do it. Yes, Shaktavesh avatar, sure. Shaktavesh avatar. Yeah, Prabhupada did that in the Western world. That is true. Amabina annanare braja premadite. But no one except me, no one except me can give the love of Godhead, love of braja dham. Because Krishna is the Vishay there. Everything belongs to him as a Rasika Shakara to relish. And he wants to invite Alachua devotees all over the Kali Yuga people. So this is only his Karuna that he wants to do that. That is very exceptional, very rare, exceptional. We should think very seriously and jump into it.
So the promulgation, yoga dharma is incidental. So then what is the reason for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance? Let's see. Kona karane yad hila avatara mana yoga dharma kala hila se kala milana. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for this is repetitive, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. So, dvi hetu avatar laya bhakta gana apane aswadate milamasanti. Thus with two intentions the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Let's go on. Seidvare Achanda Dana Samsara Nama Prema Lati Varaya Samsara. So thus he spread Kirtan even among the untouchables, Achandale. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. Oh, it's a beautiful verse. I can't even process this verse. I tried to understand it, but I'll read it one more time. Thus he spread Kirtan among even the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. So on. Eimata bhakta bhavana karyamikarapani achari bhakti karuna prachar. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. So far we have not looked at what the reason is for Mahaprabhu's appearance, the internal reason. Right now, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is discussing the external reason. He already explained that it is an incidental reason and that Mahaprabhu came for another reason, but we haven't gotten to that reason yet. Let's go on. For some reason I put the purport here from Prabhupada and let's just read and see what it says. Swarup Damodar Goswami has described Lord Krishna Chaitanya as Krishna himself with the attitude of Radharani or a combination of Radha and Krishna. The intention of Lord Chaitanya is to taste Krishna's sweetness in transcendental love. So Prabhupada is giving us the internal reason here. He does not care to think of himself as Krishna because he wants the position of Radharani. We should remember this. Yeah, I remember why I put this purport. Prabhupada makes a very important point here, a philosophical point of how we should think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Should we think of him as Krishna or should we think of him as Krishna in the mood of Radharani? Those are two different conceptions. So a class of so-called devotees called the Nadiya Nagaris or Gaura Nagaris pretend that they have the sentiment of gopis towards Lord Chaitanya, but they do not realize that he placed himself not as the enjoyer Krishna, but as the enjoyed, the devotee of Krishna. This is critical for us to understand. That concoctions of unauthorized persons pretending to be bona fide have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya. Presentations such as those of the Gaura Nagaris are only disturbances to the sincere execution of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself. So Prabhupada says, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he is not only Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is undoubtedly Krishna himself, and he is always non-different from Srimati Radharani, but the emotion technically called Vipralamba Bhava, mood of separation, which the Lord adopted for confidential reasons, should not be disturbed in the name of service. This is important. A mundaner should not unnecessarily intrude into affairs of transcendence and thereby displease the Lord. One must always be on guard against this sort of devotional anomaly. A devotee is not meant to create disturbances to Krishna. As Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, devotional service is anukulyana or favorable to Krishna. Acting unfavorably towards Krishna is not devotion. Kamsa was the enemy of Krishna. He always thought of Krishna, but he thought of him as an enemy. One should always avoid such unfavorable so-called service. So, the idea is that don't think of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna only or as the enjoyer Krishna, because then one could become like the Gauranga, not necessarily, but there's a danger. One could think like the Gauranagaris that they want to have the sentiment of gopis towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that is a disturbance to Krishna, as Prabhupada says. Rather, one has to understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of the enjoyed. That means he is the mood of the devotee, the mood of Srimati Radharani. And so that mood is disturbed when he is approached as Krishna. Let's go next. Lord Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position as Swarup Damodar did in the Gambhira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation as they are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. But the Gaura Nagaris who place Lord Chaitanya in the position of enjoyer and themselves as his enjoyed are not approved by Lord Chaitanya or by his followers. Instead of being blessed, the foolish imitators are left completely apart. Their concoctions are against the principles of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The doctrine of transcendental enjoyment by Krishna cannot be mixed up with the doctrine of transcendental feeling of separation from Krishna in the role of Radharani. Let's go next. So this is 442. Dasya sakhya vatsalya araya shringara chari prema chaturvidha bhakta yadhara. Four kinds of devotees are the receptacles of the four kinds of mellows in love of God, namely servitude, friendship, parental affection and conjugal love. What Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing now is he is going to establish the supremacy of conjugal love, madhurya bhava. So he's slowly building our knowledge base here, the knowledge base of his audience, slowly bringing them up higher and higher in understanding so that then he can finally explain what that verse means, the verse 5 of the first chapter. So we are not there yet. Four kinds of devotees, okay, so let's go next. So, tatastha hayyamane vichara yadikari sabarasa hayate shringare ahikamadhuri. But if we compare the sentiments of these four rasas in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all others in sweetness. Let's go next. Yapattaram asau swada vishesha ullasa mayyapi ratir vasanaya swadvi bhasate kapikasuchit. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love, which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desire, manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Purport is that this is a verse from Sri Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2538. Next. Ateva madhura rasa kahitara nama swakya parakya bhave dvividha samsthana. Therefore I call it madhura rasa. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded love. Swakya is wedded, parakya is unwedded. Next. Parakya bhave ati rasara ullasa braja vinaihara amyatra nahi vasa. There is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Vraja. Vraja vadhu ganera e bhava niravadhi taramathe. This mood is unbounded in the damsels of Vraja, but among them it finds its perfection in Sri Radha. Let's go next. So what's going to happen now is we have a discussion of Srimati Radharani's attributes, qualities, who she is and how she serves Krishna. This is going to be over several coming verses. Radharani is going to be discussed. Praudha nirmala bhava prema sarvottama krishnera madhurya rasa aswadakaram. Her, Radharani's pure mature love surpasses that of all others. Her love is the cause of Lord Krishna's tasting the sweetness of the conjugal relationship. Next. Ata eva sei bhava angikara kari sadhina nanija vansha gauranga shrihari. Therefore Lord Gauranga, who is Shrihari himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Nija vansha. So Mahaprabhu has his own desires, Krishna. As his own desire. And this desire is to accept the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Let's go next. Sureshanam Durgam Gati Ratishayan Upanishadam Muninam Sarvasvam Pranatapatali Nam Madhurima Viniryasa Premno Nikhila Pashupala Alam Bujadusham Sa Chaitanya Hakim Ne Punarapidusho Yasyati Padam. Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, the be-all and end-all of the great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and the essence of the love of the lotus-eyed gopis. Will he again be the object of my vision? So next. Another verse that makes the same point. These are two verses, text 51-52 from Prathama Sri Chaitanyashtaka 2 and Dvitiya Sri Chaitanyashtaka 3 from the Stavamala of Srila Rupa Goswami. Aparam kasyapi pranaya jana vindasya kutuki rasastoma mritva madhuram upabhoktum kamapiyah rucham swam avavre vyatim ihatadiyam prakatayam sa devas chaitanyakriti ratitaran nah kripayatu. Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarian mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels. This is Sri Radha. And so he has assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. So now we are getting into the real reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. The first of them is that he wants to love Krishna like Radharani does. At least this is how I understand it. Is that he wants to taste... But this is the first of them. He wants to taste Srimati Radharani's love. That means he wants to experience what it is to love Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. भाव ग्रहण हेतु कैल धर्म स्थापना तार मुख्य हेतु कही शुन सर्वजन. टू एक्सेप्ट एक्सटैटिक लव इज द मेन रीजन ही अपीयर्ड एंड री एस्टैब्लिश द रिलीजियस सिस्टम फॉर दिस एज. I shall now explain that reason. Everyone, please listen. Shuna Sarvajana. Is the end? Okay, so there is another file.
Nine.
It's verse. Minimize this and there's a window where you can click on. There's another view. Go down. No? So this is, I split this into two lectures. This one is this part, actually there will be a third part of the meaning of the fifth verse. So we did the first part. Now the second part is understanding Srimati Radharani and how she pleases Krishna. We need to understand Srimati Radharani and how she pleases Krishna for actually understanding the direct meaning of the fifth verse. This is the concept. Okay. I already read this one, so let's go next. So this is the verse that we are trying to understand again. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Ladani Shakti Rasma Ekatma Namati Bhuvi Pura Deha Vedam Gatau Tau Chaitanya Khyam Prakata Madhuna Tat Vayam Chaikya Maptam Radha Bhava Diti Sivaritam Nau. So Krishna Das Kaviraj repeats this verse twice. He repeats it again here. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they have separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to Him who has manifested Himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although He is Krishna Himself. Okay. So this text is from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. Prabhupada writes, go on. So now, in explaining Srimati Radharani, Krishnadas Kaviraj starts with this famous verse, Radha Krishna Eka Atma Duhi Deha Dhari Anyonya Vilase Rasa Asvadana Kari. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Purport, the two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. This should be the line for the night. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of the oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source of understanding for such intricacies of transcendence. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavata devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally approaches the fallen conditioned souls of the Iron Age to deliver the highest principle of transcendental relationships with the Lord. The activities of Lord Chaitanya are primarily in the role of the pleasure-giving portion of his internal potency. I think I'll skip this one. Let's go. Okay, so I think I want to stop here and we'll continue this next time. But if you want to elaborate on the previous part, a few minutes. Just go back a couple of slides. This one. No, no, not this one. Next one. Not this one. Next. Okay. We'll stop.
Any
body has any reflection? Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just wanted to share, when you were speaking about reading other books and how it can support or strengthen your faith in what you read in Prabhupada's book. And so I was having that experience.
If it works. Oh, wow. It works.
I started reading a book about Jesus in India, and you know, in the time in between from when he was 12 to 33, which is not in the Bible at all. And it's very interesting because it talks about him being in Jagannath Puri and living there for 6 years or so. And I was reading and it was having that exact effect of just because I was reading it from the perspective of someone who, you know, reads a little from Prabhupada's books, and it was just all supporting them, and I could see Jesus as a devotee, and just hearing about the chanting, the importance of chanting the holy name and things like that, and it was just amazing. It was very nice.
Yeah. You want to turn off those lights?
Mother, how much would you like to see?
I'm
going to make it a small. Guys, this is the only time I've ever.